And it's the roundtable portion of our show. We visit now with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, and Doug Deacon, the analyst from the Browns Radio Network. Guys, how was your long weekend?
It was very good. I made a very, very big life choice. Yesterday, I bought a new phone.
Really?
Yeah, we were going rotary dial in our home, and so I went and got a new phone. I
know
Doug
will, the 1990s.
I know Doug will be very pleased that I got a new phone.
My weekend wasn't quite as exciting. I went to Put-in Bay.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you guys got to enjoy some downtime. This football team spent the time in talking with Pat Shurmur about this, Jim. His approach was to tweak some things, treat it like a mini bye week, and kind of look at some of the things they've done and how much you can do better. When you're 0-4, you can do pretty much everything better. How important do you think that is for the Browns?
Oh, I think it's important for them because, again, we lean on this an awful lot through our weeks of here on the round table is how young they are. And so I think there's two ways to look at it. Number one, how young they are and how close they've been to winning these games. I mean, save for a play here and a play there. I mean, look at the difference between the Browns being at 0-4 and where Philadelphia is at 3-1 now with a couple of one-point wins and a two-point win and a very close loss and where the Browns are. So in that aspect, you can show proof and say, hey, listen, look at how close you are. But on the other side, you can say, hey, listen, you have to take there's great attention to detail, and you have to continue that. A lot of these guys might have had a couple of layups on their college schedule, and they don't have that here. I mean, these guys definitely don't have that here when you look at the schedule that the Browns have already played and what they have coming up this week.
Doug, what do you want to see this team work on the most when you are doing this pause and reflect kind of thing now?
Well, I think you want to see the wide receivers take a step. I mean, right now, there's not a go-to guy for the most part. You want somebody that, you know, when Whedon throws it, you know he's going to catch it. And I think that comfort zone of having the chemistry with somebody and, you know, the confidence in somebody that when you throw the ball up in the air, you know, we've got two big, tall kids. Actually, three when you throw in Jordan Cameron, you know, it's got to be our ball. And yeah. I think, you know, that would help it, you know, so much. I mean, you watch New England yesterday, and, you know, they're defending Tom Brady.
Right.
And, you know, New England's got 200-yard rushers, and they don't have great running backs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And those guys were just running like it was on air.
I mean, that was unbelievable watching that game.
It was. Now, when we talk about the Browns receivers now, though, the dilemma is health. And you're looking at Mohamed Mascot trying to come back from the hamstring, Joshua Cribbs with a concussion, Travis Benjamin on this list. All that Pat Shurmur would say today is day-to-day with all of those guys, but how big of a concern does that have to be when we're talking numbers and we're talking the difficulty of finding anybody? If you're going to go outside this roster, I don't think there's anybody available when you get into October.
No, I don't think so. And, you know, that is very concerning. I mean, and especially with what you're left to deal with. So, I mean, now just out of, you know, attrition, you take a look at a kid like Josh Gordon and you say, hey, Josh, we really have to get you going now. I mean, you know, the learning curve has got to steeply go up, and we have to get you up to speed because they keep saying they want to get him to play faster. And, you know, you can be a little bit more lax with him because the games are going on and you have the other guys. But now you don't have the other guys. So as Doug says, what you do have is you have big guys, big, tall guys. And, you know, Josh Gordon's going to have to, you know, step things up a little bit quicker now. And of course, Greg Little's just got to get better, and he's got to get more consistent. And now it becomes imperative that you do that. You can't count on Cribbs or these other guys who are nicked up.
Yeah, I mean, and the numbers all of a sudden get a little dicey for the Browns because you're talking about three receivers.
Right.
You know, and I think if you watch the Giants last night, if they got a weakness, it's probably their secondary. So if you're going to exploit it, you know, you need some healthy bodies there. And, you know, how they play out the numbers during the course of the week, and you know who heals faster, or if they can heal in time, it's all, you know. And don't forget, Alex Smith is, you know, somebody. He's not a receiver as far as wide receivers, but he's a big part of the running game, and he's also done a good job of in the passing game.
Yeah, and he's been on that injured list as well. So a lot of things to cope with. Maybe the extra week is helpful from that standpoint. The other thing I wonder about, just from a psychological standpoint, guys, and Jimmy, is looking at 0-4, and you're traveling now to the Giants, and it's a tough opponent, And yeah, they can bring. I mean, who knows how this thing goes? But from an attitude standpoint, you've how this team feels about itself, how these players start to feel, and you get into the season, and the bumps and bruises start to add up. You just wonder how long you can maintain some level of confidence and some level of drive that there's a prize here. And I'm guessing maybe because they're young, this is a better thing for this team to not be as caught up with the season having this 0-4 hole in it.
Yeah, because I think if you walk out of Baltimore the way they did, and I'm sure there's the disappointment of, hey, we're 0-4 and we lost again. But I think the other people, you know, who aren't around them every day kind of looked at them and went, you know, more of a national look at them because it was a nationally televised game, looked right at them and went, you know what? They fought hard. They are extremely young. They're an interesting team. The quarterback, you know, showed some signs that he's going to be very good. He's got a big weapon, and that's his arm. I mean, yeah, you know, so once they can straighten out the receiver thing, he should be able to get it to them. I think that they have to look at how they played, and they fought very hard, and they're right in there against these teams. I mean, these are really good teams that they have played so far, and Cincinnati, don't sleep on them. I mean, they're right there too.
No,
so they have not had, not that there are any cupcakes in the league, But they're not a cupcake either, and they have to realize that. So that should be the fact that should keep their confidence going. But I don't think it's broken yet at all.
And I think that's the message that Phil Dawson gave him the other day when he stood up and told me. He said, hey, we're not an 0-4 team. You know, we're a better team than, you know, the perception is. So, you know, we just have to stay the course.
Doug Deacon and Jim Donovan joining us here on the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up too, because a guy like Dawson – as a voice is someone you do have to listen to. And even though you could say, well, kickers live in their own world, but this guy's different because not only because he's great as a player and he's got that credibility, he's got the credibility of years. He's got the perspective of being on this team through these various encounters
stages.
And stages of being in a malaise, but losing. And I guess being able to differentiate that and I know the younger guys don't know any. Trent Richardson only knows Alabama national championships. Right now, this doesn't compute to him being on an 0-4 team. And I would say the same is true with Brandon Whedon. Mm-hmm. But that message for other guys has to be heard from Dawson.
Oh, I think so. He's the only one that has a true historical focal point on things that are going on. And he's such a vital part to what this team does, the way they're constructed right now. I mean, you know, you do the math all the time, and when there's a deficit, and unfortunately in each game there's been a deficit on the scoreboard, you say, okay, well, we got the three with him, and we know we've got three with him. How do you match up and get the other one and the touchdown to equal that and get back into the game? But the other thing that Doug has always told me about Phil Dawson that I think reigns true with his teammates is that he's a football player. He's not really just a kicker. I mean, he's a football player. He was an offensive lineman, wasn't he, at one point?
In high school, he was an offensive tackle. But, I mean, he has the mentality. I mean, he's a guy that if you go to him, he's always got sound thinking.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy you know is never going to be in trouble.
Right.
He's a guy that's, his biggest sin was he went home one day and his wife said, are you smoking? He said, no, I was just riding in the golf cart with Deacon. But, I mean, but that's just, that's Phil Dawson. He's as solid as a person as you're going to find.
Yeah, no, I think, and that's important to have that within this football team. We could talk about Dequell Jackson. We can go down a list of some players and what, when you're going through something like this, how important it is. But it also has to start with the head coach, too. This is Pat Shurmur in year two, and this is the challenge that he faces to kind of keep it together and keep the coaching staff on point and everybody really focused. So as you look and listen to him too, I can see a pretty finely focused, finely tuned perspective from him. It seems like he's more dialed in to this year than he was a year ago with regard to just seeing that bigger picture.
Well, he knows his team, I think, a lot better. And here's the thing, all of our fans out there listening of the Browns, they are going to win. You know, they're going to win. They're going to win a game, and then I think they're going to win a few games. And they're going to probably surprise some people, because I think once they do break through, kick that door down and get through and into the win column, it will happen for them, I think. You know, they're just too talented, I think. It's just that they have to learn the blueprint of how to do it. Okay, we're at this stage in the game, and we've gone off course a couple of times when we've had the lead, and we just need to do this And I think that's what it's going to be. I think they're going to be one of those teams, Doug, that when they win, a few more will follow after that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a team that towards the end of the season is going to obviously get better if they
Absolutely.
Can remain healthy.
Sure.
And you're going to get some bodies back that they're, you know, a big part of it. But, you know, it's sometimes, you know, if you lose, you sit there and you get into, you know, we're not good enough. This team's good enough. I mean, it's got an upside, a great upside to it. It just needs the chemistry and experience and the ability to catch the football.
Yeah, the validation that would come with a win is so important. Guys, thank you so much.
You got it, Vic.
Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, yours truly, the Roundtable. We will have much more coming up for you. A discussion with Bernie Kosar is next. On Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.